hello everyone. I cannot believe how many amazing people that are here. Is it loud enough?
Or just stand up.
Stand up.
Okay. Can't see you.
Oh, okay. I just want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. You know, we are in kind of an interesting time in history right now. And we can see the importance of community and the importance of democracy and real democracy and interest in people getting out and learning more about everyone that wants to represent them. So what I see here tonight is making me feel very excited to be able to represent the Green Party. And the reason that I'm running for the Greens and why I chose that party to represent is because they insist on participatory democracy, which means when I'm elected as your MPP at Queen's Park, my job is to represent you, not the party, but you. I'm not whipped, I'm not told how to vote, and I will never be given a note. This is how you're gonna vote on this. I will be listening to everyone here, and I will be at your door, not just before the election, but all the time. You'll get sick of me. And that's what politics should be about, being active and engaged in your community, not just at election time, but every day working to do things better. And that's the great part about being green. And we'll go on and you'll learn more about other things later, but I'll let other people talk.
Great, thank you.
Thanks everyone for coming tonight. I'm very proud and excited to be the Liberal candidate for the Bay of Quinte riding. Okay, how's that? Thank you. I'm very proud and excited to be running for the Liberal candidate for the Bay of Quinte riding. Our family has been involved in politics for over 50 years. I'm a two-term counselor for the city of Quinte West. And my father represented this area for 20 years, and he served with integrity, dedication, and compassion. Characteristics which will guide my campaign and potential time in office. You can count on David O'Neill to get things done for the Bay of Quinte area. Thank you.
I'm Amanda Robertson and I'm running for the Bay of Quinte NDP for the Ontario NDP Party. And I am very excited to be running in this election because I've noticed that we have a lack of representation at Queen's Park. We're not hearing our voices there. And I am a mother of three, a dairy farmer's daughter. I coach in a youth basketball league. I'm a school board trustee. And I see all of these issues that we have burning our communities right now with respect to healthcare and education and cost of living and housing. And we have some of our neighbors living on the streets, some under tarps. And we can do better and we can have better. So while I don't think anybody really wanted a February election, it's cold, the snow makes it really hard to get signs in the ground. What it has provided is all of us an opportunity to be able to make a new choice, an exciting choice, a different choice, and a choice for better. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Tyler Alsop, and I'm the PC candidate in this upcoming election. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to come out tonight, as well as the organizers who put on an absolutely incredible event. It's so great to see a packed room here and 65-plus people watching online. Not a lot of events draw that kind of interest, and so thank you all for participating in this. So as I said, my name is Tyler Alsop. I'm 32 years old. I have three children under five with my wonderful wife, Jennifer, who's here tonight. And having three children under five, I always tell people she's the hardest working member of the Alsop family, and even made time to come out and support me tonight, so thank you very much, darling. And when I came before everybody a few months ago in the by-election, I really told you I would do three things. One is that I would hit the ground running, two is that I would make sure that there was no gap in leadership at Queen's Park, and three is that we would continue to get things done for the Bay of Quinte. And I can tell you 4 months later that we have absolutely delivered on all of those things. And you take a look at some of the investments that we've been able to bring to the community just in the first 100 days. Look at the $20 million for County Road 49, a project that has been a point of contention between the municipality and the province since 1998. We put up $20 million, that road is going to get redone, and they'll be able to use that money to either start the project or leverage funding from the federal government to get them to pay their fair share. We also look at the infrastructure investment that we just made in Quinney West, the largest infrastructure investment in their history, $11.07 million to urbanize 2nd Duck Hill Road and Highway 2. Critically important to unlock new housing units, and also there's a tragic fatality of a young girl, a 14 years old, last year. That road needed to be made safer, and we've made our commitment from the province, $11.07 million to get that done. And as I was knocking doors in Belleville, one of the clear priorities, and Amanda addressed it as well tonight, is the amount of people who are struggling with homelessness, with addictions, and with mental health challenges. And as a former treasurer for the Richmond Center for Mental Health, and as well as the former chair of the Belleville Police Department and a two-term counselor in Belleville, I knew firsthand how dangerous and how troubling that situation was. So I advocated hard to the province. They heard our cries and our need for support, and we were able to get $19 million over 3 years for a regional heart hub for Belleville that will help people who are out on the streets get into from the cold. 21 supportive housing beds come with this project so that people can get rehabilitated, get the support they need, and get their lives back and back to being productive members of society. And so I'm running to make sure that we can keep drawing these resources, these investments that this community needs, and to really keep getting things done for Belleville and the surrounding area and all of the Bay of Quinte. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everyone coming out tonight.
Thank you all so much. Just one quick note, if we're able to hold the mics just a little closer to our chins, they're having a little bit of trouble hearing online. But with that being said, we'll get into the questions, and David, you'll be answering this first. So, access to quality healthcare and doctor recruitment has been top of mind for many residents. What is your plan to recruit doctors to the area and improve medical services? David, it's you up first. No worries, I can give you a moment.
Ford doesn't want to have an election about healthcare because he doesn't want to answer.
If you hold it right up, like kind of on your chin.
Okay, thank you. Ford doesn't want to have an election about healthcare because he doesn't really want to answer his failures. 28,000 people in our riding and 2.5 million people in Ontario do not have private care. We have a healthcare worker shortage. Belleville General Hospital has one of the longest wait times in the province. Trent Memorial Hospital needs a dialysis unit. Thousands have been waiting this for years. 11,000 people died when waiting for healthcare last year. 13,000 Ontarians have lost their lives to the opioid crisis since Doug Ford took office. 200,000 people in the province are homeless. 7 years ago, Doug Ford promised to end hallway healthcare. He didn't get it done. In fact, things have gotten worse. Now parents aren't just in hallways, they're being treated on floors and gyms. The goals I think we need, get every person a family doctor in 4 years, which is part of the Liberal plan, shorten the emergency room wait times, preserve and expand services in our region's hospitals, reduce surgery wait times, get a dialysis unit for Trent Memorial Hospital, expand home and community care services. We need to educate, attract, and retain new internationally trained healthcare workers, increasing the number of training spots for healthcare workers, integrated health services, expand home and community care services to meet growing client demand for caregiver needs. The Liberal Plan 2 promises to create 2 new medical schools and expand existing medical schools, doubling the number of medical spots in our program. It is very clear the Ford government doesn't listen to local governments and puts the interest of land speculators and local governments ahead of the people.
So we have a fabulous riding, and we also know that people want to live in the Bay of Quinte. We also have an awesome opportunity that a lot of regions don't. So it really is unfortunate we're struggling so much with recruiting and retaining family doctors, because we actually have a residency program here through Queen's Family Health Team. So we have on average 20 residents a year that are living and working in our community that we're struggling to retain. So a big piece of solving some of the crisis with respect to healthcare and lack of access to primary care is making sure that we're improving the environments that our physicians and our healthcare workers are practicing in. Because until we start to improve things for our doctors, our nurses, our PSWs, they're going to continue to bleed out of our system. So we can graduate all the new graduates we want, but if we don't fix the system for them to work in, they're not going to stay. So my husband is a family doctor at Belleville, and no, he's not taking patients. However, I have a unique insight into some of the struggles that we're facing. So we're asking of our doctors to not only hold together a struggling system, but to take on patients who are increasingly complex. And our doctors that are in training centers, like my husband, he also is expected to train the next generation of doctors. So we have an issue when we're burning out our doctors who are supposed to be the trainers of the trainees. So an NDP government would invest to recruit 3,500 doctors over the next 4 years. And we'd be also investing in improving the conditions. So for example, our community health center workers. So that is an ideal model where we have community health hubs. So we have physicians and nursing and physio and dietitian, social worker, all under one roof. Their wages have been frozen at pre-2017 rates. So we're having a hard time recruiting into those positions. So while we can create new family health teams and we can create new community health centers, it's not a desirable model for these healthcare workers to work in, because their wages have been only increased about 6% over the last 27 years. So an NDP government would look to increase their base budget by 5% immediately for all people working within this model. We'd be looking to increase primary care teams by 380, so we would have more across the province. But again, the biggest piece is going to be investing in the workforce, the human resources that our healthcare system needs. So we need to remember that while systems include hospitals and beds and materials,
15 seconds.
The heart of the system are the individuals working in it. So until we're working to really invest in the workers, we're going to really struggle. So NDP plan would be to invest in workers and make sure that we're strengthening from within.
Thank you very much for the question, and certainly in the last campaign in September, healthcare was absolutely the number one issue without question at the doors. This year we're also hearing a lot about the tariffs that are coming up for the United States, but healthcare is still absolutely right there. And we know that we first have to agree on the facts before we can agree on the solutions. So in Canada, Ontario has the shortest average wait time to access healthcare. We also have the highest patient attachment rate of any province in Canada, between 84% and 90% depending on which study you look at. Now, we know that that is not good enough because in rural areas like ours, as well as northern and smaller communities, that rate does drop off precipitously, and we're about 72% in this area. So we've done a number of things to try and get more doctors into the province. The first thing we did is we were the first province to introduce as-of-right legislation so that doctors who are trained in other provinces can come over to Ontario and start working immediately, which has been fantastic, helped a lot of new doctors come into the province. About 15,000 new doctors we've hired since 2018, as well as 100,000 new nurses. We've also increased residency seats by 700, 260 undergraduate, but 449 postgraduate seats. We've earmarked 60% of those for family doctors, and we're also prioritizing all of those spots for Ontario students, because they're much more likely to remain in Ontario and work in the communities where we desperately need more healthcare. I've been absolutely in touch with Stacey Dobb, the CEO of Quinney Healthcare, probably about 4 or 5 times since being elected to get updates on how things are going at our local hospitals. And we know that the ER wait times are significantly higher in Belleville than they are in the rest of the area because they need about 5 new ER doctors to properly manage the shift work and to make sure that we get that wait time under that 8-hour average for the province, which is still quite long, but again, in perspective, that would be the quickest time of any other province in Canada. And so we're investing heavily in attracting those doctors. We introduced the Learn to Stay program, which helps fund doctors who are willing to practice in underserved areas by giving them their tuition, about $25,000 a year over a 6-year period back, which has certainly seen some results. But the challenge is you can't make a doctor overnight. These things take time. We've made the investments. We've also put forward $50 billion to build new hospitals all across Ontario, including $200 million for the Picton Memorial Hospital just down the road, which will be a state-of-the-art mass timber hospital. We're very proud of that. It'll be low emissions, very green hospital, and will help give better quality of care close to home for all the residents here. We also invested $8.9 million to fully renovate the Trenton Memorial Hospital emergency room. That's a $6,000 renovation, which should give much better quality of care to residents in Trenton who are seeking emergency services. And both of those two hospitals were slated to be closed under the previous Liberal government. In 2018, we stepped up, we provided the funding, because we understand how critical it is that you have high quality of care in the communities that you live in, and I'll continue to fight for that for Bay of Quinte.
Well, I have worked as a frontline healthcare worker in all of the hospitals in our riding for over 30 years. I have seen the issues firsthand. First of all, despite some improvements, very minor, with Doug Ford with the 700 more residency beds, we are the lowest funded per capita healthcare system in Canada and amongst most nations. So we have a lot of work to do. The other thing is hospital beds. When I started working at Belleville General Hospital, we had just under 500 hospital beds. There were no people in the hallways of our emergency departments because we had beds to move the patients that came in to emerge into a bed. Over the years of Liberal and Conservative, and NDP at one time, ownership, we are now down to 192 beds at Belleville General Hospital. At one point, we were down to 160. These are the cutbacks that have happened, started in Harris and continued on. So we need to invest the same level as every other province in Ontario. I do not believe for one second that our 26,400 unattached patients in this community right now, which is a quarter of us, one in four, has no access to our healthcare system. How are these elderly people supposed to access healthcare? They go to the eMERGE. We have twice the rate of people accessing our emergency departments for non-urgent issues because they have nowhere else to go. This is an emergency for our riding. I am offended that we've gotten to this point. We have to do much better. First thing, put money in. Second, I have a petition. I think Lynn might have it. We're going to be asking the legislature of Ontario to prioritize our riding, because our riding needs way more health care than it's getting right now. So we are going to be petitioning, and I'm sure whoever is your MPP will be happy to present that petition on Queen's Park on behalf of all of us residents. Thank you.
Just to save a little bit of time, if we can keep our clapping between each question, just so we can get through as many as we can. Also, we'll move on to the next question. So, and we'll be starting with Amanda. As we witness tensions mounting between Canada and our closest trading partner, many Canadians are seeking to bolster our own economy by buying Canadian. How would you contribute to Shop Local and other Canada Forward consumer initiatives?
Okay, so this question is kind of near and dear to my heart. So I am a dairy farmer's daughter, so I grew up with the Little Blue Cow campaign and always double checking that any of my dairy products are coming from Canada, Ontario, if possible. So a couple weeks ago, I did release a press release on this very topic, encouraging people to purchase local, especially with respect to local foods. So the OFA, as part of their submission for the budget this year, they included a stat that showed that if we had families, households across Ontario spend just $10 more a week on locally grown food, we would be infusing $2.4 billion into our local economy and creating 10,000 new agriculture jobs. So, yes, thank you. So I mean, this is something that we've seen governments do in the past, the whole buy local. I think everybody can remember the Good Things Grow in Ontario jingle. It's burned into our memories. But this is the type of leadership that it might seem like small beans on a big scale, but every purchase you make that supports local is giving jobs to our economy. It's safeguarding our economy, protecting, it's growing our economy, and really strengthening our ability to continue to thrive as a nation and as communities and as a province. So the NDP would be looking towards creating a Premier's Council on the Economy, which would bring together business leaders, labor, civil society workers, municipal leaders, to coordinate an economic response to any potential tariffs that we may be seeing or feeling. We would also be launching a Buy Ontario campaign, so similar to that Good Things Grow in Ontario, but on a much bigger scale. And we'd be working to break down interprovincial trade barriers and also investing in some of our trade-exposed industries. So really a multi-pronged effect to be able to really safeguard and protect, but also grow, because we know we have everything we need within Ontario and Canada. I know we have a lot of intertwined industry with our friends to the south, but the reality is we can be much more self-sufficient, and it just takes people who truly believe in the power of buying and shopping local. And I know here in Prince Edward County, you guys have such a great campaign already with respect to buying local. So it would really just be building on what we know already works, which is encouraging us to be looking out for our neighbors and to be supporting them wherever possible. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for the question. Certainly tariffs on the front of everyone's mind with this new president who seems to come up with three new terrible ideas every day and then try to convince everybody that the whole world loves them. Unfortunately, that is not the case. We know that we've got about a 30-day reprieve as of February 3rd on the 25% cross-the-board tariffs, 10% on oil and gas. And the challenge is that these tariffs came through, threatened about 450,000 jobs just in Ontario. We're the number one export destination to 17 U.S. states. We're the number two export destination to 11 others. And our economies are so intertwined that these tariffs, when you think about the auto sector, where we've attracted $44 billion in investment in electric vehicle manufacturing, we have six of the top vehicle manufacturers all operating here in Ontario. And the average vehicle crosses the border about six times before it's actually finished being produced. It would have a massive impact on our supply chains. So a re-elected PC government would help nearshore our supply chains, make sure that we're investing in the abilities to refine our own products. One of the things that drives me crazy is we make really good raw products, we then send them to the United States to get refined, and we send them to them at a discount. So if anyone's being taken advantage of at the border, it's us. They're then shipped back over the border at a much higher rate, and we pay it because we haven't built in the infrastructure to refine those products at home. That's softwood lumber, that's precious minerals, that's oil and gas. It's a significant problem for our economy. A re-elected PC government would make sure that we have those capabilities close to home. On the question of buying local, as a former small business owner of 12 years, this has been top of mind for me. And I find that one of the best ways to influence consumer behavior is they want to be doing the right thing. We need to help give them the tools to do that. Clearer packaging, higher standards for what a made in Ontario or made in Canada. Also breaking down barriers to interprovincial trade. There's no reason that in this climate we should be taxing each other at provincial borders to ship products around. And I think about our own winemaking industry here in Prince Edward County. They have difficulty accessing other markets across Canada. I see the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce nodding in the back. How are you, Duarte? You know, this is a real thing that we can be doing that would really significantly benefit a number of producers across our community. The other thing is, there's a couple great solutions that are out there that are made in Canada apps that help people scan barcodes at supermarkets and when they're out shopping. One of them is called Buy Canadian Made. The other one's called O Scanada. I was just reading about that earlier. It's a tremendous branding. And so these apps, you can download them for free on your phone. You can scan a barcode when you're at the store. It will tell you if the product is made in Canada or not. And you can actually update it as you go as well. So if a product is unknown, you can scan it, look up where it's made, and then you can add that into the app so the next person knows if that product is actually made in Canada. I think it's a great thing to be supporting those entrepreneurs that are producing those apps to help us all get more clarity on what's being made in Canada. Thank you.
Well, hi everyone again. So for the tariff question, we definitely, we haven't dodged the tariff bullet. I don't know if anyone else has watched the news lately, but a steel tariff was instituted today, 25% on Ontario and Canada, despite the fact that we were told that we have a 30-day pause on that. So we really need to get to work right now. And my question that has occurred to me is, are we going ahead with our Starlink contract to Elon Musk? I do believe that Doug Ford at one time said that he would get rid of that contract, and I don't think we should go forward with it under these steel tariffs. But as an Ontario Green, we would create a tariff task force which would have be across party lines and amongst jurisdictions so that we can work together to plan the best approach to fighting back. And an investment Ontario tax credit to get people in Ontario to invest in the companies that produce goods in Ontario. We would start, as everyone else has mentioned, a Buy Ontario program highlighting the important Ontario produce that we have. And I want to say that there's a way to buy Ontario produce right now, and that's to go to your local farmer market. Ours in Belleville is still active on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And as Greens, we want to start local food hubs, so I think we should get started on that. That's a great idea for all parties to do and make sure that we can get food to people through this time. We also will have a Protect Ontario Fund, so that we are getting monies to the companies in sectors in the industry that are most affected by these tariffs and support them through this time. We need to diversify our trade partners. This seems like something we should have done years and years ago, but it's never too late to start again. So let's work on, you know, trading with the EU and other countries. And we need to bring down our interprovincial trade barriers and work with our partners across Canada. There's never been a time, more important time to be unified as Canadians. So I think all parties have some really good ideas. And now I expect that we're all going to work together and fight these tariffs, just like all the provinces in Canada are going to work together to fight these tariffs. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about the first. I had all my notes arranged in the agenda, and I'm new to this, and when they had a different spot, I got a little confused. With the recent tariffs causing a stir, I feel there's never been a better time to support our local Canadian products. I agree a buy local campaign should be developed and would be a priority in mind. I would also promote directors listing more made in Canada products and love the idea of an app for consumers to use to make sure they did. I would ask businesses highlight which products are Canadian in the shelves to make sure they could buy. I would try to have the province or municipalities give preferences to purchasing Canadian products and services. As said, every purchase you make supports our local economy. Thank you.
Cost of living has become a near crisis in Canada for young people, families, and seniors alike. How will you assist community members to maintain financial well-being, particularly seniors, many of whom are on a fixed income? We'll start with you, Tyler.
Well, thank you. It's a great question. It's something that our government has been laser focused on, and we really are the party that has come out most on affordability to make sure that we can make life easier for Ontarians. You know, our government has never increased any taxes since 2018. We cut the sticker fees, we cut the provincial gas tax by 10.7 cents a liter, and have continued to extend that tax. I know sometimes people ask, well, if you're not getting that tax revenue, that must mean we can offer less services. Absolutely not the case. So what we've done is by growing the base instead of jacking up the rates, we actually bring in significantly more money than we did when we came into office. The budget used to be about $160 billion a year. We're at $212 billion a year in revenue from the provincial government without raising a tax and by actually reducing your taxes, because we've become a much better environment for business and for investment, which then generates tax revenue from not only their employee base, but also municipal taxes and paying more provincial and federal taxes. So instead of increasing the rates, as some would do, we've grown the base. It's been incredibly successful, and it's allowed us to actually increase healthcare spending. I wanted to touch on this earlier. $57 billion when we came into office in 2018, $85 billion last year. Almost a 50% increase in spending on healthcare because we've grown the base. Now, in terms of seniors, we introduced the Senior Health at Home Tax Credit. We also introduced the guaranteed income supplement for seniors. And so low-income seniors can now receive about $1,000 more a year through both of those programs. We also cut taxes for 1.1 million low-income workers. And the minimum wage has been increasing with the cost of inflation every year in October. So we've come good on our pledge to increase the minimum wage, and we've tied it to inflation. We've increased ODSP by 16.7% over the last 2 years, also tied into inflation, something that no other previous government has done, though there's been a lot of talk about it at the election time. No government had done that before. We were the ones who delivered on that. And then, although it might be impacted by the tariffs, we've projected a balanced budget for 2026, which is something we have not seen in many, many years. And we are committed to that, provided we're able to do so, because we may have to backstop a significant amount of businesses in the wake of the tariffs if they come through, because again, we're threatening 450,000 jobs. The other thing that we've done to help make life more affordable is by upskilling people so they can get better jobs than they previously had. And so we've invested $1.5 billion in the Skills Development Fund to help retrain 600,000 workers to get better careers, whether it's in manufacturing, in technology, in service industries. And that's been a great program for us. And our local college, a Loyalist, runs a great program that deals with that. I have to say, those graduations are pretty moving when you see people get a second chance to move up in their career, to make more money, to support their families, and that's been absolutely critical. So we are the party of affordability. We've been hard at it. We haven't increased your taxes, and we won't do so in the future. Thank you.
Very good at sharing this microphone, I think. So as Greens, we do have a plan to help affordability. First, we want to help the people that need the help the most. So we have people who are on ODSP and Ontario Works. ODSP pays about $1,300 a month, and every dollar you get, say you get CPP because you worked before you went on ODSP, gets clawed back dollar for dollar. You are in legislative poverty, and you will remain there. There's no way to climb out. And this is not acceptable. Ontario Works, $700 and something a month. You can't rent a room in Belleville for that. So we have to do better, and I'm so excited to hear that we have $212 billion in the budget, because let's redistribute that and make sure that we're all getting a piece of it. Well, there's, I take it from the tunnel under Toronto. $7 billion, they go to the most profligate energy users. The more electricity you use, the more subsidized you get. That's exactly the wrong approach. But also, for affordability, we too plan to cut taxes on people that earn less than $65,000 a year, or households that earn less than $100,000 a year. And we plan to increase taxes on the highest tax bracket. And I know that might affect a few of you here, but it won't affect me, so I'm not. So this is the things we need to do for affordability, but beyond that, we need affordable housing, affordable rent, and we do have a really great plan to increase rent control back to older buildings and vacancy control. So when you are evicted from your rental unit or rent evicted, they can't jack the rate up beyond the cost of living increase. So these are the things we need for true housing affordability. And so we don't, and we also have a plan to help reduce the price of groceries and energy. Right now, we are paying quite a bit of money for expensive forms of energy. And we have plans that apparently in Ontario, there is the only area where public land is used for pipelines without any money coming back to the province.
15 seconds.
So we change that. Anyway, I still think we could do better.
Thank you. Sorry, Mom. My mom is 87 years old and still living in her own home. My goal is for to stay there as long as possible, as I feel it is a better quality life and also cheaper for our healthcare system. I'm a member of the Hastings County Community and Human Services. There we're advocating for increased funding to build more seniors housing. There's been a real problem dealing with the province. We keep applying for any programs. We don't get approved, and then we just waste our time going back and forth. This needs to be fixed. We need to get more funding for these things. I also believe there should be increased funding and supports for senior services, such as in-home care services, such as personal support worker visits, meal programs, providing maintenance services like lighthouse keeping, lawn care, and snow, rental assistance programs to low-income individuals in the form of rent supplements and housing allowances, additional funds for food banks. Our party has also proposed to double the ODSP payments and index them to inflation. I believe it has not changed since the 4W has been in, and that's
16.7%
left. It's unacceptable. And we are also proposing to lower the personal income tax rate. Thank you.
So yes, cost of living is one of the number one things we're hearing when we're knocking on doors. The reality is, while provincial taxes haven't been raised over the last 7 years, municipal taxes are consistently growing and growing and growing. So a big piece of tackling some of the challenge with respect to our property taxes, municipal taxes, is to be working through the Ontario NDP's new deal for municipalities, which would see the NDP re-upload a lot of the services that have been downloaded onto municipalities. Recruitment, low-income affordable housing, major infrastructure projects, things that are taxing you at a municipal level to an extreme amount, and we're not seeing the value add because we're having lots of small centers trying to do these big things. So we would be re-uploading a lot of that responsibility back to the province, which would be, in turn, saving you guys in your pocketbooks. Another thing that was announced recently is that the NDP is proposing a monthly grocery rebate that would be indexed to inflation as well. So it would be based on number of people in your household and your income level, so you can actually get money back. But at the same time, pairing that with legislation to stop price gouging at the grocery store. So we would be mandating grocers to publicly post for increasing the cost of basic foods more than 2% in any given week. So again, if without that accountability, we can give back all the money in the world we want, but we're basically just putting it into Galen Wesson's pocket as he gouges at the grocery store. More specifically to our seniors, we'd be looking to revamp the Ontario Senior Dental Care Program, which, if anybody is on that program, you know there's arbitrary limits. So you might just be a couple dollars over with your dental work, and then it has to stop because you are being charged through the roof to finish your dental care. And that is not, there's no dignity in that. So that paired with, other gaps in OHIP. So we have shingles vaccines that are not covered for people over 70. So we have a government and a health plan right now that basically says if you're too old, then your health care isn't as good as people who are younger. So really tackling some of these arbitrary limits and cutoffs to make sure that you guys have access to the pharmacare you need, access to the dental care that you need, so that those types of things, you're not choosing between food and medication. If you want more ideas on things we're going to do, we have a lot of little niche things like that. But with respect to our seniors, we know things like eye exams. We've stretched now from getting your eye exam every 12 months to now getting an eye exam every 18 months. So I think as people age, you probably want your eyes checked on a little bit more often, not less. So just really recentering the people that are living in our communities and focusing on what we can do to save money for them across the board. Thank you.
Okay, next question will be starting with Lori. So, access to Canada, across Canada, many communities are struggling to provide affordable, dignified housing options. How can you help residents find adequate housing solutions?
Well, this is a huge issue within this whole riding, but especially the community as a whole. And as Greens, we do have a number of amazing plans. Our housing plan was voted most best in perfect plan. I don't remember who voted it in, but anyway. We have a plan for rent control, vacancy control. But beyond that, we have a great plan for first-time home buyers. I have three children, the ages of 30 and under, and they're wondering if they'll ever be able to afford a house. And all three are working and they have good jobs. But it's so expensive to get into the market. So as Greens, we have a plan. We want people to build the kind of housing they need, not big mega houses out on beautiful stretches of farmland. We need smaller houses that are affordable, like the wartime housing that was built in the post-war period. So we have a plan that if you build a house that's less than 2,000 square feet within existing urban boundaries, the Green Party, if we're in government, will lift that development charge off of that house, and there will be no land transfer tax. And that the municipalities will not be left wanting. We will have an affordable housing fund to reinstate the money that they would lose through the loss of those development charges. We need to get people building the type of housing we need. We have a plan to build over 300,000 affordable homes with nonprofit partners, like the All Together Housing Project, which is working very hard in Belleville to house people with special needs and who are struggling. And it's a great project. I toured through it, and you know, they have housing areas for people that might need like live-in help around the clock, but they also have market housing. Half of that place is market housing, and they're all working together. They have staff there. It's a beautiful building. And this is the kind of initiative that people all across this riding are bringing out to do, and we need to support that. We already have models that are working. The other thing that I love about it is we are going to pay, upload all the brownfield remediation costs, so that we can build housing on those areas safely and not just leave it like it has been as an eyesore for eons. I live in Belleville. The Bakelite site's been a huge issue for us. And so this kind of thing would be amazing. So,
15 seconds.
Oh, okay. So we have a great plan for housing, but I think even more important is to give people the tools. We are going to work together with nonprofits to build the kind of housing people need. Thank you.
Thank you. Doug Ford's Conservatives aren't serious about building the housing Ontario needs. They're looking out for their NIMBY rich friends and well-connected insiders. Ontario is building fewer homes annually than it did 50 years ago. In 1974, with half of today's population, Ontario built nearly 110,000 homes, almost 40,000 more than we're building now. The average rent in Ontario has risen at nearly twice the rate of inflation, while average home prices have increased almost 50%. One in five people in Ontario now spends over half their income on housing. Homelessness has increased nearly tenfold, with more than 230,000 Ontarians now without a home, and more encampments popping up every day in our neighborhoods. Our liberal plan will slash taxes on new homes, improve renter rights, and save you money. We will eliminate the provincial land transfer tax for first-time homebuyers, seniors downsizing, and nonprofit home builders. Scrap development charges on new middle-class housing. Make renting more affordable by introducing fair rent-in, phased-in rent control.
So as part of our new deal for municipalities, we would be introducing, the Ontario NDP would be introducing a Homes Ontario plan, which would have us partner with co-op and non-for-profit housing providers to provide funding for low-cost financing and public land to build more affordable homes. We would work with municipalities to identify shovel-ready projects. We would also be, as part of this plan, we would also be legalizing fourplexes and introducing real rent control on all units. This is really important as we've seen a lot of private equity firms buying up and raising rent. So in Ontario, rent has been risen over 22% over the last 2 years. And we have big corporations like Starlink Investment that continues to be approved to raise their rents higher than what is provincially allowed. And this has happened more than two times over the last couple of years. We would be limiting Airbnbs to primary residences so that we don't have neighborhoods that are sitting empty and homes that are sitting vacant. I know that's a big thing here. We have a lot of neighborhoods in the county that are basically ghost towns or party towns or both. And that's no way to build up community. So we would have a plan to limit that. We would also be, as part of our Homes Ontario plan, we'd be looking to build 1.5 million new homes by the year 2034, and we'd be building or acquiring 300,000 permanently affordable homes as part of that 1.5, so that we make sure that we have housing options available for some of our most marginalized and some of our folks who are on very low fixed incomes. Thank you.
Great, well thank you so much, and we actually, as the PC government, introduced a plan to build 1.5 million new homes by 2031, so there you go, we're 3 years ahead. But we know that we need to build more housing at all levels. It's a significant problem across Ontario, and there's a couple of different things that we've done. We've changed the provincial policy statement and the building code to allow for initiatives like modular homes, as well as tiny homes to be built. We've also increased density around transit stops, So in the places where people live and work, they're able to get housing that's affordable. We've also had the highest level of purpose-built rentals built ever in Ontario's history last year, which will help more people find a dignified place to live. And we've made some improvements to our homelessness prevention program as well. We've increased the amount of money that communities are receiving by 125% in Prince Edward, Lennox, and Addington, and also 80% in Hastings County as well. So those programs are getting more funding to make sure that people can get off of the streets. We've also put up funding for encampments. So if you clear out an encampment, we provide funding to the municipality to get those people into shelter housing to make sure that they're not having to live out on the street in the cold and they have somewhere to go at the end of the day. So there's a number of different projects that we've worked on to get housing to be more affordable. And this is a problem that we're seeing across Canada, not just in Ontario, and I think largely at the hands of the federal Liberal government and the immigration system that's been untethered to available housing. We certainly need immigration. We need more workers for our businesses. We need them for our communities. But you have to do that in relation to how much housing and healthcare is available, and that hasn't happened under the current government. So looking forward to more sensible national policy soon. But on the provincial side of it, we've got a number of programs that are helping more people attain housing. Thank you.